Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor. And you can join us at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And you can go online to michaelsavage.com for some of the stories that we'll be talking about today. Well, did you hear the real reason we haven't seen the photos of the dead body of Osama bin Laden? We're going to get into that in just a second. We've got new testing going on for unisex fitness tests to see what women will have to do to participate in combat for our military. And the NSA can find out a lot more about you with your metadata than it's been admitting. And before the hour's out, men, you aren't really needed as dads. At least that's what a judge says. It's all coming up on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp filling in. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and you're on board. Well, this is one that Huffington Post had it linked up, a couple other sites have it linked up, and it's called SOFREP, Special Operations Fitness Report. Okay? And this guy, Jack Murphy's written this article. He's an 8-year Army Special Operations veteran, served as a sniper and team leader in 3rd Ranger Battalion, senior weapons sergeant on a military freefall team in the 5th Special Forces Group. He left the military in 2010, and he has a lot of people in there who will still talk to him. And he says there's a reason beyond what President Obama told you as to why you didn't see any pictures of Osama bin Laden's dead body. I mean, when you think about it, we saw photographs and videos of Saddam Hussein's hanging. Well, yeah, but we weren't in charge of that. I mean, at that point, the Iraqis were in charge of that. So they're the ones who released the images, not us. I mean, we would never really. Okay, but didn't we also get to see pictures of Uday and Qusay after Delta Force took those two out? So why not? Just a couple pictures of the dead body of Osama bin Laden, just so the people would know that he was really dead. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there still wondering. Well, Greg, what really happened was he died of kidney failure in 2002. No, what really happened is he's still out there wandering the hill. I mean, you know, that stuff's going to go on. So why not? Beyond all the things they told you, maybe it's because after he was killed, our special forces, reasonably angry, reasonably looking for some revenge, decided to empty a few magazines into him.
Whoa.
That's the allegation. Now, you remember the first cut here we have, when President Obama was telling us all about the fact that Osama bin Laden was going to be buried at sea. And we have a little bit of that from the news report from Fox when this first happened.
The United States was concerned. There was talk about possibly calling up Saudi Arabia and saying, do you want to bury him in his home country? Possibly calling Afghanistan or Pakistan. But the fear was that if you put Osama bin Laden in the ground, he becomes his burial site becomes a shrine and an attraction and maybe a lightning rod for the people who believe the same way he does.
So that's a little bit of what that Fox report was. And so they were saying, you know, that's why we're going to put him in the ocean. Well, and I agree with that. They didn't want a site where somebody would dig up the body. They didn't want people to go there and use it as a recruiting area. They all kinds of things. Or was it because, hey, man, we don't want anybody to see the body? Because what's being alleged here, Matt Bissonnette, one of the SEAL Team 6 operators in the raid who wrote that book, No Easy Day, says, quote, in his death throes, Osama bin Laden's talking about, in his death throes, he was still twitching and convulsing. Another assaulter and I trained our lasers on his chest and fired several rounds. The bullets tore into him, slamming his body into the floor until he was motionless. But now Jack Murphy says he's got two confidential sources inside the Special Forces community that said, no, That's not all that happened. Once everybody was done, operator after operator taking turns dumping magazines of ammunition into them, a conservative estimate is that Osama bin Laden had over 100 bullet holes in him.
Whoa.
Now, here's my question to you. Is that okay? Does it bother you at all? Do you think it's bad for our military if something like that happens? Do you believe it? See, this is the thing. First of all, it's an anonymous report to Jack Murphy, who's no longer in Special Forces. Do you believe it? I don't know. I don't know if I believe it, but I'll tell you, is it possible? I think it's possible. Now, these guys, these Special Forces people, though, the most highly trained people in the world when it comes to the military, right, are our people. Unbelievable discipline that they have to make sure that their operations go off. And that they don't leave dead comrades behind. And I'm sure many of them will believe this was an insult to even have this out here. There's no way that our guys would have done that. And if you've ever been in that, I'd love to have you tell us about it. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. But if this is true, and if our guys really dumped 100 rounds or more into Osama bin Laden's dead body, basically saying F.U. Saddam. I'm sorry, F.U.O.B.L. Is that okay? Now, Murphy points out, you know, here's the thing. The real issue is not that bin Laden was turned into Swiss cheese, but that this type of behavior has become a standard operating procedure in this unit. You believe that? And that when you do that, when you start going down that path, when you have that as a trend of this self-indulgent and ultimately criminal behavior, and these actions get worse over time, you lose what makes our military unique. Well, here's the thing. I agree that normally that's not something you do. Now look, a military guy in the heat of battle has the right for what they call insurance rounds, right? I mean, you go up and you shoot somebody and you're not sure he's dead. You might put one or two more in to make sure he's really dead, if he's not surrendering, right? Because, hey, he could still shoot and kill you. And your number one job is not to die for your country, but to make sure that that other, you know what, dies for his, or for whatever his ideology is. So, yeah, no problem. But then you're supposed to stop, right? I'll tell you this, though. If I'm the commanding officer of that unit, and listen, I'm not saying that I'm going by any kind of military code. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying as an American, looking at everything that Osama bin Laden has put this country through, all the people who have been killed, all of our military men that have also been dragged into all this conflict, all the way down the line, all the innocent American citizens in 9/11, if you had the chance, would you have put a round in Osama bin Laden in the heat of the moment right there? Well, if I'm the commanding officer, here's what I say. All right, listen, you know that we can't do this. You know this is wrong. This is against procedure. It can get us in a lot of trouble. You're never to ever do this again. But I understand. It's your one time. Get out of jail free pass. We never do this again. We shall never speak of this again. And maybe this will make them sink to the bottom of the ocean faster. No, stop it. This isn't a joking matter. You're not supposed to make jokes about it. It's Osama bin Laden. And I know it's not right. Look, there are times we do things that we know aren't right. But when you're in that kind of situation and you really put yourself there and really think about it, might you have done that? Yeah. The thing is, he's already dead. They're not torturing the guy. He's already dead. And all I'm saying is, I understand. Remember Chris Rock when he did his little bit about O.J. Simpson? And O.J. Simpson killing his ex-wife, stabbing her to death because, you know, he believed that she was cheating on him with the dude from the restaurant. And Chris Rock said, listen, I'm not saying whether O.J.'s guilty or not. And I'm not saying it's okay to attack your ex-wife because she's living in your house on all of your money, sleeping around with other dudes, but I understand. So all I'm saying is, I understand. Now, if it does go beyond this, if it has become a trend, if it is something else, then yeah, you got to stop it. But here's the thing that doesn't make any sense to me are the people that say, well, Greg, if we did that, we're just as bad as the terrorists. No! No, you're not. You know what? Did you guys see, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Some of the Syrian rebels tied to Al-Qaeda, they tweeted, live tweeted, chopping a dude's hand off. Okay? No, that's not the same thing. Look what they did to Daniel Pearl and chopping his head off on video. That's not the same thing as shooting some rounds into the dead body of Osama bin Laden. It is not the same thing. Let me take your thoughts on it. Let me start with Eric, WJR. Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Napfilanin. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Doing well.
Excellent, excellent. You know, I just want to make a point. I was a regular Army enlisted infantry soldier, and I know we had a lot of discipline in our unit. And to say that these guys would just kind of line up one after the other, so to speak, and just pop off 20, 30 rounds, cycle those rounds to their weapon, would I understand? Absolutely. I wish they would have. But the fact of the matter is that's overlooking the huge, huge amount of discipline that these guys have. Their mission wasn't even halfway over when they put that man down to the ground. They had to collect intel. They had to do what they came there to do besides take out the target. Those guys are on point, and there's no dicking around. I'm telling you that right now.
I think all those points are very good ones, and those are all points that went through my head too, Eric. And the only the thing is, this doesn't tell you exactly where they unloaded into him. I mean, did they? He doesn't say whether they did it right there in his little compound or when they got back they had some kind of ceremony, which if that's the case, though, that would be even weirder because, like you said, that then the whole mission's over. To just sit around and empty a couple magazines into him doesn't sound like our special forces.
Not at all.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let me get Dennis in, too, WFTL. Dennis, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead. Uh-oh, I think we might have lost Dennis. Let's go to Paul, WABC. Paul, you are on the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
How are you, sir? I'll put it this way. This news story is like being brought up as a cover for something that's going on right now that nobody wants to talk about. If the troops did that or not, I agree 100% that we have disciplined people to do what they got to do. But the thing is, if they did, I wouldn't care if this president can't stand up for saying our troops got in there, it was a rough situation, we took them out, and that's it. And this president is a wimp, as he is to everything else he's doing right now for the past 5 years.
Thanks for the call, Paul. I appreciate it. Here's the thing. Like I said, I don't know whether I believe this or not. I think Eric had some great points about what our special forces would do. But I have a feeling the reason they didn't show these photos is that we did shoot him a few more times than maybe the average person would think was absolutely necessary, and that was something that we were afraid for people to see. What do you think? Well, I'll tell you what, there's something else going on with the military here. You know, they're getting women into combat. They're getting ready to do that. So they're coming up with a new unisex fitness test to see if you're ready. But they promised, no, this won't be dumbing it down at all. We'll get to the details in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm filling in from Dr. Savage right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey.
My name's Greg Knapp. This is the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are on board, and we're taking your calls on this anonymous sourcing that the special forces emptied a couple magazines into Osama bin Laden after he was dead. Do you believe it? And if it did happen, is it okay if it was just for Osama bin Laden? Just this one-time thing? Or can you understand it? But here's the other part before I go back to your phone calls. A lot of reports coming out now, Associated Press, Fox News Channel, all over the place, that the Army is doing some tests right now. And they're trying to develop what will become the unisex test for combat. See, right now, the vast majority of women cannot pass the male test for combat. because a lot of the test is on stuff like push-ups and the mile run at a speed that is much more in the bell curve for men than for women, and women don't have the upper body strength that men do. Women and feminists, I'm sorry, but that's called facts. There are differences in the physical makeup. Now, there are a lot of men who can't do this, and there are very few women who can. But they want a unisex one, and so what they're saying is, what we're really doing here, we're not trying to make this an easier test to make it so that women can get in even though they shouldn't be in there. No, 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 no. What we're looking to do is test the things they actually do instead of push-ups, sit-ups, two-mile run, pull-ups, and that kind of stuff. So what we're doing is drills where you got to scale a 6-foot wall with 70 pounds of gear, remove a heavy barrel of a 25-millimeter gun on an armored vehicle, move 65-pound anti-tank missiles and load them, those kind of things. And if they can do that, then they're cleared. Things like dragging a fellow comrade off the field of battle if he's been shot, those kind of things are pretty important. And, you know, if you can do it, okay. If you can't, you're not in. And the people pushing this, Major General Mike Murray, says the idea for the military isn't that any woman coming through can pass this test. It's that anybody, male or female, who can pass the test should be able to serve in that occupation. If it's one woman out of 1,000, so be it. Now, here's the question I have, though. Do you think that will be the way it goes down? If it's only one woman out of 1,000, so be it. Do you think they're going to allow that? And by them, I mean the far-left feminists. Because what they're going to say is, no, 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 that's a disparate impact. If only one woman out of 1,000 can do it, and 600 men out of 1,000 can do it, then that's a disparate impact, and therefore, that's discrimination, and therefore, we can't allow that. Therefore, the test is discriminatory. Well, you're damn right it's discriminatory. We need to make sure the people can do it. No, 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 no. All discrimination is bad. No, all discrimination is not bad. I'm going to take your calls on that and on the OBL story in just a second. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage here on the Savage Nation. You can join in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And we got a couple things going on. I was just telling you about these new unisex tests for the military. They're trying to come up with this test so that whether you're a man or a woman, if you can do these things, you can do the job, and therefore you're cleared for combat. And so it's not just sit-ups, push-ups, pull-ups, run. It's can you load this 65-pound missile? Can you drag the 250-pound man off of the battlefield when he's injured? Can you scale a 6-foot wall with 70 pounds of gear on your back? Can you do the stuff that you actually need to do? And that's fine. It sounds great to me. And when the major general says, and if only one woman out of 1,000 can do it, then that's all we'll get, that sounds right. My question is, will it really come down to that, or will they say, well, that's not fair? And I would almost guarantee you, if it's only one out of 1,000 women that can pass that test, they'll say that that's an unfair test. Although it doesn't, you know, obviously the enemy doesn't care whether you're a man or a woman and whether or not, you know, you got a special treatment to get in there, because after all, we have to have a certain number of women. The enemy just cares if they can kill you. What do you think? Love your thoughts on that. And the other one, of course, is this Osama bin Laden thing. We have the report from anonymous sources inside Special Forces to Jack Murphy, who writes for Spec4. And they say that after they killed Osama bin Laden, they emptied a few magazines in him. He had over 100 bullet holes in his body. They don't tell us whether it happened right there on the compound. They don't tell us that happened later. I don't know if I believe them, but if you do believe them, would that have been okay? Let's get your thoughts on these. I want to start with Doug at WBAP on this unisex test for women in the military and men in the military. Doug, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Filling in, go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. Good to talk with you. Hey, I completely agree with you, and I've got a little bit of supporting evidence for your 1 in 1,000 woman that has the goods to do an Army individual's work. And that example is the Professional Golf Association. The PGA has no prohibition against women competing with men in golf tournaments. The best example of this was Annika Sorenstam. She played in the Colonial right here in Fort Worth in my area, several years ago. It's a shorter course, but it was, if a woman was going to play, that would be one that makes sense for a woman to play. But the point is, for a woman golfer, as a professional, if she's got the goods, she can compete against the men. Now, obviously, the men can't play in the LPGA, but that's the way they look at it with respect to the sport of golf.
Yeah, and the same thing happened, if you remember, Doug, it was the younger Asian ancestry girl that played that has a really long drive. Remember her?
Yeah.
And she did several events and never made the cut because, like you say, I mean, it's one thing to be great. It's another thing to be great and compete against men who are biologically different than you. And that's the part that some I don't understand why some people think that that's a bad thing. Doug, thanks for getting in. I mean, why is it bad that women and men are biologically different? I think it's awesome. I mean, every day I get down on my knees and thank God that men and women are biologically different. I mean, I like the difference in the women. I mean, God, great job, man. Let me give you some kudos. So why is it such a horrible thing? You're not the exact same. There are some things women can do that I can't do, and that's good. And I'll tell you, I don't know how you women put up with it. I mean, all the stuff you guys got to do, once a month thing, all the shaving, the labor and delivery and breastfeeding. I mean, whew, man, I don't know how you put up with it. But I'm sure if I was a woman, it would be awesome too. I guess. I'm sure. I was talking to my daughter about that the other day. I don't know how we got on this, but she said, you know, I'm just glad I'm not a boy. I said, well, yeah, but if you had been born a boy, we'd be having this conversation, and you'd say, I'm just glad I'm not a girl, don't you think? She goes, yeah, I guess. And I guess that's true, but, you know, it's very hard to put yourself in that position. Do you ever wish you could just, like, switch places with your wife and just feel what it's like to be a woman for a day? I think that would be kind of awesome. You know, I mean, I'd really like to see what that would be like and how different I felt physically, mentally, you know? Maybe that's Greg. I think we're going into the bad territory with you right now. I am sorry. Apologize. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board as well. Let me go with Jeremy, WMAL. Jeremy, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Comment about OBL. Like you were talking about, you know, they put 100 rounds in him. I think if they only put 100 rounds in, they were probably short on ammo. But down to the whole political correctness issue. When I was in Iraq in 2003 and 2004, do you remember when we first took Baghdad? They took the statue. They drew the American flag over Saddam Hussein's statue. Very iconic image of the war.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to do that anymore. We weren't even allowed to fly American flags on our vehicles because they were afraid, American government was afraid that we were going to be seen as conquerors or invaders instead of liberators. So I think it boils down to more like political correctness. We're just afraid of backlash from the Muslim community if they had put his pictures out there.
Yeah, I think you have a good point. Thanks. I appreciate the call. I think that is part of it. And the guy who wrote the book about what happened said we put a few more rounds in him. Not 100, but a few more. Let me get Paul, WJR, on the testing in the Army. Paul, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling on the testing. I don't know what the test should be, but this idea, you know, to carry a 250-pound guy, I don't think that's relevant. I was in the 25th Infantry in Vietnam. Those Vietnamese guys were tiny, 5'5", tops, 120 pounds, but those were some tough SOBs.
Well, Paul, but here's why it's relevant, because if you are a 250-pound man and you get shot on the battlefield and the only person who could save your life is the 100-pound woman next to you and she can't drag you off the battlefield, you get killed. That's why.
Well, I understand, but what about the Vietnamese Army? Those guys weighed 120.
Well, I don't care how much they weigh. Like I'm saying, if she weighs 120, as long as she can haul my 250-pound lard butt off the field, then I'm fine. But if she can't, then she shouldn't be doing it. Thanks for the call. That's the point. If the 120-pound Vietnamese dude could haul the 250-pound American off, that'd be fine, too. But you got to be able to do it. That's all. And let me get there's some other opinions here on this whole bin Laden thing. Let's go to Ralph, WABC, on whether or not we put 100 rounds in the dead Osama bin Laden body. Ralph, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Greg, I'm going to approach this as if this were true. these soldiers indeed did what was thought they did. It's completely unacceptable. And, you know, I've never been in battle, so I'll prerequisite. I mean, that's, you know, all these military folk calling up, I appreciate them. I've never worn a uniform. But let me add this. This is hard for people to hear. Just because you put that uniform on does not make you a hero. That goes along with the police uniform or fire uniform. Just for that simple fact that you have a green camouflage, whatever you have on, does not make you a hero. To do that, it's a depraved act. Do I hate bin Laden? Yes, I do, with all my heart. If a gun were in my hand and his dead corpse in front of me there, I'm a little bit redundant on that, would I pull that trigger? I certainly would not. What do you get out of doing something like that, Greg? Tell me.
Well, I don't know, because I wasn't there, and I wasn't in the heat of the battle, and I haven't been in a situation where I've gone to back-to-back-to-back-to-back deployments and watched some of my friends get killed, and I didn't lose anybody on 9/11 who I actually knew in terms of a relative or a friend. I appreciate your thoughts, Ralph. Thanks for the call. I think you're making good points that a lot of people probably have. You are correct that just because you're in the Army, you're not a hero. Just because you're a cop or a firefighter, you're not a hero. You're right. It's your actions that make you a hero. It's the fact that you're willing to risk your life for others that makes you a hero, and how you conduct yourself while you do that that can make you a hero. I agree with that, but I think what you can sometimes get out of something like that is a release from what you've been going through and the stress that you've been under and the fact that you were almost killed. And you've seen your buddies die, and that this guy is responsible for countless lives lost and for wars that we shouldn't even have to be fighting. And you start to get to the point that if you have this guy in your sights, you want to shoot him. Like I said, we don't know if this even really happened. But yeah, I could see why somebody would want to. Let me get Anthony, WABC, on. Anthony, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going? Pleasure talking to you. As far as UBL goes, he deserves a bullet for everyone who died during 9/11. It doesn't make our military anything worse or animals compared to what the other guys do to us, chopping off our heads and whatnot. As far as the military, it's become a social experiment by the left. Whether it's transgenders, transsexuals, homosexuals, you name it, they're just making it a social experiment. And I can't understand how it's the only organization in this country that is not equal and does not allow fairness. It's the best person for the job. Plain and simple.
Well, isn't that fairness? I mean, isn't fairness that the best person gets the job? I mean, to me, that is fairness. But I think to your point of, is it getting too politically correct, the military, I'd say yes. Because it really is about killing people and blowing things up. And if you can't do that, you shouldn't be in it. And if you can't do that to the point that you're going to be able to protect your buddy next to you, then why are you allowed in it? It's not about, are we giving enough opportunities for this person or that person to get a promotion? Based on what? On skin color, on sex, on sexual orientation, on this, that, or the other? No. None of that's supposed to matter. It's supposed to be, are you the best for the position? And are you going to keep our people the safest, or are you a liability on the battlefield? Period. I mean, isn't that it, really? Plain and simple. Done. Well, that's what it's supposed to be. But is it that way anymore? I don't know. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, michaelsavage.com as well. Men, I got a little story for you here. You aren't really needed as dads anymore. Well, at least according to one judge. We'll get to that in just a moment. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp, in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in, 855-400-SAVAGE. And a big voice in the movies is gone that you know, but you wouldn't know him if you passed him on the street. Let me let you hear just a little bit here. Let's hear cut 5, and I think you'll know who I'm talking about.
After serving the last of his sentence, Cameron Poe is taking the first plane home to his wife and daughter.
Today's flight is a special one. We're populating Louisiana's Feltham Penitentiary. These guys are the worst of the worst.
But one wrong flight.
Stewardess, what's the in-flight movie today?
Can ruin your whole day. Con Air, directed by Simon West.
That was Hal Douglas. 89 years old, just passed. He had pancreatic cancer. He worked until 2 years ago. This is between him and Don LaFontaine. They basically changed what movie trailers were.
In a world where you can't get Raisin Bran, there are now Cheerios.
You know, I mean, that was what these guys did. And they changed everything in terms of the movie trailers. And if you notice now that both of them are gone, I think, now. And so, if you notice, movie trailers don't have the big booming voice anymore. A lot of it is just flashes of the movie with no voice tying it together. It's kind of weird. But if you wanted a big movie, you wanted Hal Douglas or Don LaFontaine doing your voice work. And that made your movie sound big, even if it was horrible. Unbelievable voices. And they're gone. All right. Let's get a couple more phone calls in on this stuff with the UniFit test for the military. Let me get Brian in WABC. Do you believe that this test will be okayed if only 1 out of 1,000 women can actually pass it? Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Napanen for the doctor. Go right ahead.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I'm going to be quick here. I just want to state that if Marines and males have to meet a certain physical requirement to qualify for combat, and men and women are supposed to be equal, then they should also meet that requirement. I know.
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to say is they're trying to come up with a single test for everybody. And instead of what they're doing now where they have the man test and then they have a less intense physical test for the women, and that's what they said. They're actually saying they were going to do that whether or not they were putting women into combat. Let me get Mark in from WABC. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hello, Greg. First, I want to talk about the bullets put in Bin Laden. You said maybe there would have been 100 bullets in him. They should have put over 3,000 bullets in him to make sure they got every American that passed away that day. That's on that. The other subject is I tried to get on the fire department way back in the 70s, and I scaled an 8-foot wall, and I dragged around a 180-pound dummy. What they did is they held the test up because the woman could not pass it. And they lowered the wall to 6 feet, and I don't know how light the dummy was after that, but I had to wait to get on, so I just let the test go, and I got another job. I would have been on the fire department back then. I'm 61 now, you know.
Right. So what you're saying is, are they going to do the same thing here? And see, and this is the thing, is that they're telling us they're not. They're telling us this is to make sure that doesn't happen. And let's take the fire department. I've said it before. I don't care. If my house is burning, I don't care if it's a man or a woman who shows up to put the fire out, as long as they can actually handle the hoses, as long as they could actually go in there and get me or my daughters or my wife out if we're incapacitated, as long as they can do the job, I couldn't care less which one it is. But is that what they're going to do? Or if it's only 1 out of 1,000 women who can do this, they're going to say, well, this test is discriminatory. This test is unfair. It's not going to work. Let me get Randy, WMAL. Randy, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
I think as long as the test makes sense, so be it. You know, one test is great as long as it makes sense. If you say you have to be able to carry a 180-pound dummy, anybody that can pick it up and carry it, you're in.
I think. And that's the point. That's the point, Randy. Thanks. That's what we're trying to get to. Time will tell. I just don't think they will. I think the pressure will be too great because they'll say it's not fair, not enough women are getting in. We'll see. Oh, I got to get you the story about the judge saying, hey, man, you don't really have the same rights you think you do about your own baby. We'll get to the details on it. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for Dr. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I am in for Dr. Savage right here on The Savage Nation. You can jump in the program at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Well, men, you really aren't needed as dads, and you really don't have very many rights, you know, compared to moms, according to a judge. Wait till you hear the latest on this one. Then, Representative Trey Gowdy, Republican, went on the House floor and went off on Obama. I mean, whoa, he ripped him a new one for violating his oath of office. I got the audio for you, but here's the question. Is this really all for show? And by the way, it looks like Obama's going to push the law even further on illegal aliens. And wait till you hear what one illegal alien saved by emergency rescuers is doing to him. All that coming up this hour of the Savage Nation. And if we have time, we'll get into this missing Malaysian jet story. It keeps getting stranger. Was it terrorism? And if so, is the terrorism over yet? 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE online. MichaelSavage.com. Lots of ways for you to join the broadcast and check out the stories that we're talking about. So I take it to New Jersey, where a judge said, all right, sure, it takes two people sometimes to make a baby. Wait, doesn't it always take two people? Well, you know, we've got the test tube babies and everything. Well, but it still takes two people for now. Just they don't always have to be together. Yeah, okay. So, two people are the parents, but you don't have the right as a dad to be in the delivery room. What? Yeah, well, see, what happened was the woman and the man had a falling out. He became her ex-fiancé. Now, he wanted to be in the delivery room. She didn't want him there. They weren't getting along. He was adding to her stress, not reducing her stress. Maybe he didn't go to the Lamaze classes. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't good at the breathing. Come on. You know, I'll tell you what. We've had two kids, my wife and I. And by we've had two kids, I mean she did. And all the courses we went to that first time around didn't do squat. We didn't go to them the second time. I mean, come on. That stuff, it made you feel good while you were doing the class. And it had you meet some other people who are going through the same thing you were. But when the day came, it just happened. But evidently, they weren't on board together. He still wanted to be there. She didn't want him there. So the judge said, yeah, you have the right to boot her out. Rutgers professor and family law expert Sally Goldfarb says the judge made the right call. What this man was seeking to do was really interfere with a woman's ability to exercise her own choices about giving birth and privacy. And that, to me, falls outside the rights that the father is legitimately entitled to. Well, what rights does he have? Does he have any? Yes, you have the right to pay. You have the right to open your wallet. That's what you have to open the right to, right? He doesn't have the right to watch his baby be born? No. I think he's seen it before. Well, no, that's not the point. Then what is the point? All right. And if you can say, well, here's the problem, Greg. They're not getting along now. And if they're not getting along and he's going to make the labor more difficult, then she does have the right to boot him out. And you know what? I can see that. I could see that. Now, but here's the next step. It's just totally up to her, and he has no say in it, even if he's not doing anything that would disrupt it whatsoever, just if she doesn't like him anymore. So if she just decides in the middle of the pregnancy, hey, I don't like you anymore, I want you out of my life, he doesn't have any rights anymore over this baby except to pay? Well, sure, he can work on visitation. But then the judge went a step further and said this. The father was told he didn't have a right to know when the baby was born. Wait, what? You mean like, you know, the doctor walking outside and saying it's a boy? He doesn't have that right? Nope. Jeff Golden is with Fathers and Children's Equality. He says, you know, quote, it's a sad day for fathers and for fathers and men's rights. And what it does is paves the way for fathers to be nothing more than visitors and give them nothing but the right to pay a check to their own child. That's a pretty good point. Now, the problem is, really, the government shouldn't have any say in this whatsoever, but the problem is that you put the government in that position when you start acting like children, and you can't work these things out. And so then, when the government gets involved, they have to try to figure out who has the rights here. And when two rights butt up against each other, then you got to figure out who has the upper hand in this situation. The woman's got hand. Most of the time. In most of these situations. What do you think? Is that the right call? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in on that. I think the judge has a point when he says, look, if the woman and the man are having problems here, the dad cannot force his way into the delivery room to upset the woman who is in the middle of a very difficult situation in delivering the baby. But to not even tell him when the baby's born? And by the way, what kind of standard should there be? Can the woman just at any time she wants to say, I want him out of here. Get out of here. I mean, it's his baby too, isn't it? This is not like having your tonsils out. I mean, you're giving birth to the man's child. It's just as much his child as it is your child, even though it's coming from your womb. But no, we don't. Look, we already know men don't have rights. If the woman wants to abort the baby and kill it, she can. The man has no choice in it whatsoever. So we know this. Well, Greg, some of these men are such little pigs and don't care about their babies anyway. I understand that. That's not the point. What about the man who does care? What about the one who does want to do something? The one who does want to be involved? Well, you can be involved when you pay the child support. That's where you can be involved. All right, now, come on. Is that right? Is that the way we work these things out? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in on it. 855-400-SAVAGE. And the other thing I want to throw out to you to start the hour is what Trey Gowdy did on the House floor. Trey Gowdy is saying, you know what? We've got to do something about the balance of power here. The Constitution says that there's supposed to be a balance of powers. That's why they set up checks and balances. And these are supposed to be co-equal branches. The executive branch is not stronger than the legislative branch, which is not stronger than the judicial branch. And if one branch tries to take more power, that the other two branches are supposed to stop it. You're supposed to have a balance here. And the problem is that this president is not balancing the power. This president is taking more and more and more power. And he's doing it with executive orders going around Congress, and he's bragging about it. And you've got a bunch of liberal Democrats who are egging him on, saying, yeah, come on. The Republicans won't let you do what you want to do. Yeah, because they control the House, because the people of America elected them to that, and they're supposed to be representing the people. Well, oh, sure. Oh, no, representing the people. All they're doing is stalling what we need done. Thank God they're stalling it. I mean, if Obama got everything he wanted done, we'd be even worse shape. Look what he's been doing so far. Look, this is a representative democracy, and when you tell people this is what I'm going to do when I get elected, and you get elected, you're supposed to do it. So Obama, his oath of office, says he's supposed to faithfully execute the laws. Not only has he not been doing that in cases like the Defense of Marriage Act, where he just decided not to enforce it, just like his Department of Justice Attorney General Eric Holder has been telling the federal prosecutors to withhold evidence in federal trials because they don't like the minimum mandatory drug sentencing regulations that are out there. Where he goes around Congress and writing new laws out of whole cloth like he's done. Oh, he hasn't written them. Well, look what he did with making up his own DREAM Act for the young illegal aliens. Congress rejected the idea of the so-called DREAM Act. And not just Republicans. Democrats rejected it too. So what happens? Obama writes his own with the stroke of a pen. All right, I got a pen and I got a phone. Now, this is exactly the opposite of what he said he was going to do. And Congress hasn't done anything to stop him. And one of the reasons is because when they tried to sue him, the court says you don't have standing to sue. If you ever tried to sue somebody, you have to have standing. And that means you have to have shown harm from what has happened so that you can sue the person. And the courts have said, even though Congress can come in and say, look, our harm is that this president is violating the laws that we've written and he's usurping our power, the courts have said, nah, that's not standing. So Trey Gowdy is put forward this bill that says we will have the right to sue. We will have standing to sue by passing this law. This law will give us the standing we need. And then we can sue to stop President Obama from doing this. Does that make sense to you? Let me hear cut one from Representative Trey Gowdy, Republican, on some interesting quotes that shows the difference between Senator Obama and President Obama. Come
on. I will read a quote, and then you tell me who said it. These last few years, we've seen an unacceptable abuse of power, having a president whose priority is expanding his own power. Any guess on who said that, Mr. Speaker? It was Senator Barack Obama. Here's another one. No law can give Congress a backbone if it refuses to stand up as a co-equal branch. The Constitution made it. Senator Barack Obama. What do we do with a president who can basically change what Congress passed by attaching a letter saying, I don't agree with this part or that part? Senator Barack Obama. I taught the Constitution for 10 years. I believe in the Constitution. Senator Barack Obama.
Yeah, it kind of changed when he became President Barack Obama. In fact, we've got it straight from then-Senator Obama's mouth back in 2008. If we go in the Wayback Machine, cut seven here is Senator Obama.
You know, I taught constitutional law for 10 years. I take the Constitution very seriously. The biggest problems that we're facing right now have to do with George Bush trying to bring more and more power into the executive branch and not go through Congress at all. And that's what I intend to reverse when I'm president of the United States of America.
Yeah, I'm going to reverse that. I won't do that. Right. Now, here's the thing. We got liberals like Juan Williams on Fox News last night. I saw him saying, well, I don't know where these right-wingers are coming off because you look at the number of executive orders, and Obama hasn't done as many as Bush or Clinton did at this time in their presidencies. It's not the number of executive orders you do. It's the quality of them. Here's what I mean by that. If you do an executive order that doesn't violate the Constitution, then it's okay. And you can do a couple hundred of them, and it doesn't matter. But if you do just one that violates the Constitution, you are now violating your oath of office. That's what matters. And he has been doing the ones that violate his oath of office. See, you can say, I am not going to enforce this law because I believe it's unconstitutional. And as the President of the United States of America, I took an oath to uphold this Constitution. And that's fine. And then it can be figured out in the courts, and maybe the Supreme Court has to rule on whether it's constitutional or not. But you can't say, I don't like this law, I'm not going to enforce it. That's unconstitutional, and that's what Obama's been doing. 28, 29 times now with his own Obamacare law. Making it up on his own for the so-called DREAM Act for young illegal aliens. Not enforcing the Defense of Marriage Act. Appointing people during recess appointments that weren't recess. He just declared it was a recess when it wasn't. Getting our Air Force involved in Libya without ever going to Congress. All this stuff is unconstitutional. And he doesn't seem to care. I want to take your thoughts on that and take your thoughts on kicking the dad out of the delivery room and not even letting him know when his baby's born. Is that okay? We'll hit both of those with your phone calls in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. My name's Greg Knapp. In for the doctor. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
So my question, Mr. Speaker, is what's changed? How does going from being a senator to a president rewrite the Constitution? What's different from when he was a senator?
That's a good question. I mean, what is different? That's Trey Gowdy, Representative Trey Gowdy, trying to explain something's going on here where all of a sudden now President Obama, then Senator Obama said, no, we don't do the executive orders to go around Congress. Now he does. And so we got to do something to stop it. Do you think that this vote to give them standing to sue means anything? It was 233 to 181. It passed, but it'll go to the Senate and it'll die. The Senate Democrats will not pick this up at all. And Obama already said that he would veto a bill that would actually tell him he has to enforce the law. Because he doesn't have to, because he's the president. And here's the problem. The House could do some things. The House could impeach him. They're not doing it. The House could use the power of the purse to defund the things that Obama wants until he does the right thing. They're not doing it. So is this all just a dog and pony show? We'll get to that. And also, this judge in New Jersey that said the father has no right to be in the delivery room, and the father doesn't even have the right to be told when the baby's born. What? Let me start with Laura in WABC. Laura, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Greg Knapp in for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage.
No, I'm Greg filling in for Dr. Savage.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I agree with this program totally. That's the first thing. Okay, the second thing is, I think it's awful that they wouldn't let that father even know what his baby was. And I think that the father has as much right as the mother to say, if he's a good standing person and the mother's a good standing person, they both have the equal rights to that child. And that goes along with abortion. I think it's terrible. First of all, I'm pro-life, so I don't go for abortion at all. But I don't think a woman has a right to abort a baby that's the man's baby, too.
Well, and Laura, thanks for the call, because I think you're getting to the point where a lot of people are saying, well, if it takes two to make the baby, why does only one have the rights over the baby? It's what it seems like was there. Ilian, WABC, says, wait, maybe there's something else going on here with the delivery room. You're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go right ahead. Hey, Ilian. Eileen, I'm sorry. I misread that. Go ahead, Eileen.
It's me, Eileen. Hi. Thanks for taking the call, Greg. I'm enjoying listening. So I'm calling from the reference point as a veteran mom, an EMT, and a nurse. I do agree with you that we are jamming the courts with far too many frivolous lawsuits and asking the courts and the government to be involved in our lives where they really shouldn't be. But from my perspective, the first part of it of not allowing the dad in, of course, we don't have all the information why she does not want the dad in. But there are plenty of instances.
Yeah, gotcha, where it's really important. I got it. I'm up against the clock. But, yeah, there are some times when that happens. I got more on this Tri-Gowdy thing next.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? The Savage Nation, Michael Savage out. I'm in, filling in for him today. He will be back very soon, and I appreciate you listening. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And we're talking about a couple things here. We were talking about Trey Gowdy going off on President Obama for him violating his oath of office with all these executive orders and power grabs. And really, if you look through this, you've even got liberal constitutional lawyers like Jonathan Turley, George Washington University, who agrees with Obama's agenda. And he's come out, written pieces, and gone on TV saying, this is a huge power grab, and this is going to be bad. And if you're a liberal and you think this is great, wait until you get a conservative president in, and then see what he does. And he's right. He's dead on. It shouldn't matter to you who's in the office. This is not the way it's supposed to work. And then we're also talking about the judge that said, dads, you don't have the right to be in the delivery room or even really to know when your baby's born. Wow. So a little bit more here on this Trey Gowdy thing, because Trey Gowdy's pointing out, what do you do about this? How do you fix it? What can Congress do? Cut three, please. Listen to this.
And if a president does not faithfully execute the law, Mr. Speaker, what are our remedies? Do we just sit and wait on another election? Do we use the power of the purse, the power of impeachment? Those are punishments. Those are not remedies. The remedy is to do exactly what Barack Obama said to do, to go to court, to go to the Supreme Court, and have the Supreme Court say once and for all, we don't pass suggestions in this body, Mr. Speaker. We don't pass ideas. We pass laws, and we expect them to be faithfully executed.
That's dead on right, isn't it? Because Obama said, well, why don't you take me to court? Well, they can't because they don't have standing. So he's trying to pass this law that would give them standing in court. And what he's talking about here is, he said, quote, if you use the power of the purse, you can withhold money. But then you're hurting innocent people when you're playing an appropriation game. And you know he's talking about a government shutdown again, right? And you know what's going to happen politically. And then he says, well, what about impeachment? It's a penalty. But if you're looking for a remedy, not a penalty, you need to enforce the law that was passed. And impeachment, you could impeach him in the House without any Democrats helping. But then it would go to the Senate for conviction. They wouldn't even bring it up, so nothing would happen and nothing would change. Okay, but I would say this. He's right, but I would still defund things that he is breaking the law on, and I would still go ahead and start the articles of impeachment. I'll tell you why. It would focus America's attention on this more than just what he's doing now. And then you can explain to people the problems and see if you can get people engaged in it. So otherwise, this looks like a dog and pony show because the Senate's not going to take up this bill. What do you think? Let me get Joe in, WBAP, Dallas Country. Joe, you are on the Michael Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. Nice to speak to you. Longtime listener, former bandmate from Frisco, Texas, and I have a definite opinion, as usual.
Go right ahead.
I absolutely love Trey Gowdy, and I don't care if it's all for show. I don't care if it ultimately winds up that there's not a lot we can do to set precedent in this matter. I just like the fact that he gets passionate, that he does everything that my husband and I do when we yell at the TV, is we vote and we point out all the bad behavior and all of the things that are hypocritical in the behavior of either the Democratic Party or this president in particular. And it's good to see that someone else is doing that on the floor.
Understood. Joe, I think you're speaking for a lot of people, and I love his passion. And I love the fact that he's finally trying to do something about it. Because, really, a lot of the Republicans I've had on my show, and I've said, hey, why don't you do something about this? Well, I don't know what we can do. Well, you can impeach him. Well, probably wouldn't work. Well, you could sue him. Well, we don't have standing. Maybe you could get somebody who's affected by this law and back them up and help them sue. Well, I don't know. Well, then why are you there? From one Joe to another Joe, Joe in North Carolina. Joe, my name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. Go right ahead.
Oh, hey, Greg. Great show, great topic. And, yeah, you know, I love Trey Gowdy. He's from the Greenville-Spartanburg area of the Carolinas down here, and it's a real hotbed of patriotism down here. You know, he's not the only one in this area. Jim DeMint comes out of there. And
right.
This is what I wanted to say, is that, you know, what do we need to do in order to resolve the issue? Well, first and foremost, Trey Gowdy is dead on hitting the bullseye when he talks about laws need to be respected. First and foremost, we are a republic, just like it says in the when we pledge allegiance to the flag, and for the republic, which means rule of law. Now, unfortunately, they don't teach that in school anymore, but that's what we are.
You're right.
It's laws, not men. But you know what? I told the call screener this is what I was going to say because I just set it up. So here it is. We are living in an elected dictatorship. That's exactly what we have today. He's ignoring the law, and it's happened. It's the frog in the pot. You know, they've turned up the heat, but now Obama has gotten in, and he has changed the nature and kind of violations. They are constitutional violations, impeachable violations.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for getting in. I appreciate it, and I think you're hitting a lot of good stuff here. Look, if lying under oath about sex is impeachable, then why in the world is rewriting the Obamacare law 28 times going around Congress, even when Congress has asked you to do it, not impeachable? Having us get involved militarily in Libya with our Air Force and never going to Congress for approval on it, how is that not impeachable? Not enforcing our federal law on the Defense of Marriage Act, on our immigration law, telling our federal prosecutors to withhold evidence in drug cases. How are none of those impeachable, but lying under oath about sex is? You tell me. Does that make any sense? And by the way, talking about the illegal alien situation, we got this one now coming out. Obama told the Congressional Hispanic Caucus leadership last night that he's now considering even more changes on how his administration is enforcing our immigration laws. The president emphasized his deep concern about the pain too many families feel from the separation that comes from a broken immigration system. He told the members that he has asked Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson to do an inventory of the department's current practices to see how it can conduct enforcement more humanely within the confines of the law. Let me translate. He wants to break the law some more. Now, wait a second. Why do we even have the law then? This isn't about hurting somebody. This isn't about trying to break up families. This is about saying that the United States of America has the right to decide who comes in. And there are people who are waiting and doing it the right way for years trying to get in. And these people are jumping the line. They're hurting wages for lower skilled jobs. They're overburdening our schools and emergency rooms. They're not supposed to be here. I have great empathy for somebody who wants to come here. I'm a first generation American myself. but you have to do it the right way. You don't have a right to come in. You don't have a right to come in illegally. You don't have a right to have a job illegally. You don't have a right to steal somebody's ID with their social security number illegally. You don't have a right to do these things. And when we do find you, we have the right to send you home. It's going to break up the family. It's not fair. Well, who decided to bring the family? Well, you can take your family back home, too. That's fine. I mean, when we arrest somebody for writing a bad check, even if he did it because he's poor and he's trying to feed his family and he goes to jail, guess what? We just broke up the family. How dare we? No, that's not what are you talking about? But he's getting ready to do it even more. And this is the stuff that's driving people crazy. I mean, there's a story out today. Daily Caller has it. And it was on Fox News with Gretchen Carlson that in Colorado, Roy Ortiz was in a submerged car, flipped over. And the divers from EMS got him out. Now, at first, they didn't think anybody was in the car. So it took a couple hours to finally figure it out, and they went in there and they got him. Guess what's happening now? Roy Ortiz is here illegally, not even supposed to be in the country. These guys saved his life, and he's now suing them because it took him 2 hours to get him out, even though they didn't know he was alive in the flip car. His lawyer says, well, of course he was thankful because those divers did have a major role to play saving his life that day. That doesn't negate the fact that a mistake may have been made. I can understand why there's a lot of furor over people thinking he's biting the hand that feeds. Does that mean the officers of North Metro Fire are above reproach? No, but they didn't know he was even in there alive. That has, when they said in the interview, she asked if he was illegal or not, the response, that has no bearing on the case. Yeah, it does. You shouldn't have been here. You shouldn't have been here at all. And you know he's here illegally. And yet you think he should have standing in our courts to go after these guys. So our congresspeople, who are having their laws totally broken by the president who has sworn an oath to uphold them, they don't have standing to sue in court. But an illegal alien whose life has been saved by our EMT people, he has standing to sue in court. I'm living in bizarro world. I mean, it's gotten that bad. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. We also still have people who are wanting to chime in on this thing where the judge said in New Jersey, you can't, you know, if the mother doesn't want you in the delivery room, even though you're the father, too bad, you're out. And you don't even have the right to know if your baby's been born. Let me get George, WABC, on that. George, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Napko. Right ahead.
Good afternoon, Greg. I'm a long-time listener to Michael. I was in on two cesareans, and the hospital had me sign a waiver of liability based on the fact that if I was in the emergency room, in the operating room, and I fainted, they didn't want to be held liable for disrupting the procedure. So if the mother decided, it has nothing to do with the judge. There are mitigating factors. We don't know all of them.
It actually does have to do with the judge. It went to a judge. And the judge said, yes, you have the right, because there was no factor about him fainting or this, that, or the other, George. The factor was she didn't want him there because they're ex-fiancés. And I understand that, but then beyond that, then when can a woman can just do it on her own, and the man has no say in it whatsoever, even if he's not a problem, is what that ruling means. And not only that, but she gets to say that he doesn't even get told when the baby's born. That doesn't make any sense to me, and there's not near enough of this looked at from the father side of this thing. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Hey, you've heard money can't buy you happiness. You know, and I agree with that. Money can't buy you happiness, but it doesn't suck. Well, now there's a little bit more where supposedly there's a study that says not only does money not buy you happiness, but buying more stuff can make you miserable. Really? Well, I volunteered to try. Can I be a test case? We'll talk about it in just a second. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. 855-400-SAVAGE. And, yeah, we're taking your calls on Trey Gowdy going after Obama on these executive orders that are totally out of control and trying to get standing to sue. And it passed the House, but it won't pass the Senate. And also on the judge saying that, man, you really don't have a right to be in the delivery room or even to be told that your baby's been born. But there's also this. This is out of the journal Motivation and Emotion. Psychology professor Tim Kasser, he showed through some experiments that buying more stuff actually makes you miserable. All right, so it didn't exactly say money can't buy you happiness. And you know, there's a ton of studies on this that I've read over time. And my background's in counseling psychology. I used to do that before I got into radio. And I agree that money can't buy you happiness, but it's pretty nice. And I would also say this, a certain amount of money, in the studies I've read, does buy you some form of happiness. If you're broke and destitute, you're miserable. Now, once you earn enough money that you are comfortable, they put that somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000, depending on some variables. Once you make over that, your happiness increase is not commensurate with your income increase. There's a huge drop-off in that. But getting to that point does make you happier. But now they're saying they did these studies and they found out the more you cared about getting more stuff and then you got the more stuff, the less happy you were. That's interesting, isn't it? It's like, it was a coping mechanism. And they said when materialism was even defined in ways generally seen as positive, like financial aspirations to be successful and make money, the result of those goals was actually corrosive to the person's well-being. It said financial success values sit within a broader value system. Financial success closely related to what he called the status values, like your image, your popularity, keeping up with the Joneses, whatever. And he says the connection between our stuff and our self-esteem turned out to be pretty much a two-way street. If we become less materialistic, our well-being improved. And if our well-being improved, we tend to be less materialistic. And it could be why, I'm sure you've noticed this before. You work hard to get something, you get it, you're happy for a little while, and then you're like, eh. And then you need something else. And the people who are truly happy are the people who are focused on those non-material things. It sounds trite, it sounds hippie-ish, it sounds whatever, but I found it to be true. That doesn't mean you have to live like a monk. See, what I like is feel good about yourself, have a great career, make all this money, and then just as a bonus you buy stuff. All right, that's just the extra. That's the gravy. You know, that's the way to look at it as far as I'm concerned. That's a very interesting study. Hold on one second. Okay, here it is. Let me get Skip in, WMAL. Skip wanted to chime in on Trey Gowdy going after Obama for these executive orders. Skip, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Filling in, go right ahead.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. I want to paraphrase Elijah Cummings from last week. I am a citizen of the United States of America, and I am tired of being treated like an ignorant person. I am fed up with this government lying to us, turning all the facts the way they want to present them, and I am sick and tired of us not having standing. If the Congress can't have standing, we don't have standing, and we need to be using our pens and our phones to tell Congress and the Senate relentlessly that they have got to do something to get this president under control.
Kelly, well said. And here's where I agree with you. When you have your government lying to you repeatedly, from the NSA to the IRS to Benghazi to Fast and Furious to President Obama time and time again on Obamacare, when you have them just straight out lying to you, treating you like you're stupid, something has to be done to turn that around. And you're right. We all have standing as American citizens, and those Congress people are our representatives, and they should have standing because they have passed laws that this president is totally ignoring and rewriting. That's not what the executive branch is designed to do, and it is time for Congress to stand up. Go, Trey Gowdy, go. We'll talk about that Malaysian missing airliner next.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. I'm going to talk about this missing Malaysian jet. The story just keeps getting stranger. And it looks more and more like sabotage or terrorism. And if it is terrorism, is the terrorism over yet? We'll get the details on it and see what you think is going on. And we might have devised a way to make criminals live through hundreds of years in prison. Wait, what? I'll explain that to you. And wait till you hear what's driving the new federal dietary guidelines. All of that and Vladimir Putin, Ukraine, and maybe Russia taking money out of America. We'll hit all of it this hour of the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp filling in. It's 855-400-SAVAGE to get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. You can also go online to michaelsavage.com. Oh, and did you see this? This is out now. Kind of breaking news earlier this morning where they're wondering if Jay Carney's time is now marked at the White House, that he may be stepping down as the White House press secretary very soon. This is reported from the Mirror, and then they'll call in a bunch of other places hitting it now. You remember, he became press secretary after Robert Gibbs in 2011, so he's been doing it now for, you know, a good 3 years. That's 3 or 4 or 5 years is about what a press secretary lasts, and I don't know how he still does it. I mean, I could not do that job. I couldn't do that job for any president, because you can't just come out there and tell the truth. Your job is to lie. No, that's not true. Your job is to go out there and give the president's view on things. Right, lie. I mean, a lot of times it's just flat out lying. And when Jay Carney has to come out there and they ask him, well, the president said you could keep your plan and you can't keep your plan. Isn't that true? Well, no, that's not exactly what he said. You're lying. You know what? The IRS went after conservative Tea Party groups, but not these liberal groups. Isn't that right? Well, actually, there were some. You understand, 504c3 groups, there. It's very complicated stuff that they have to look into. It had nothing to do with politics whatsoever. Well, then why is it that 100% of the groups that were audited from the 504c groups were the conservative groups? Well, I don't know that that's true. You're lying. You just have to lie. And at some point, that's got to weigh on you. I mean, unless you're just a total psychopath. You know, unless you don't care about lying at all and it doesn't bother you, then it's going to start to wear on you. You know, I was telling you earlier, my background is in counseling psychology, and that's what I did before I got into radio. And one of the things I did that was very interesting, that I really enjoyed it, was that I did the overnights at the Bozo Room. I mean, you're not supposed to call it that. The mental health intake center. See, I mean, listen, when you do it for a while, you have to have some gallows humor, okay? Look, some of these people are just bozo. They're totally off the wall. I mean, and I would see the people that the cops would bring in. And now, listen, I treated them with great compassion and care, but at some point you did have to joke around a little bit, not in front of them, obviously, but that's what happens. I mean, ER doctors joke around, just letting you know. So they would come in, and I mean, I saw people who thought they were Jesus, who thought they were the devil. They were not kidding. They were not faking. These people were truly psychotic, thought things were coming out of the walls at them. I mean, all kinds of stuff that you just go, wow. And I also saw the people that had no conscience whatsoever, could lie to you as easy as telling you what their name was. These people would have passed the lie detector with no problem whatsoever. Saw people who were total narcissists. Everything was about them. Would have made good politicians. But the average person actually has a conscience. Most of them do. Now, you can suppress that, and the more you suppress it, the less it'll speak out. I mean, I really, for me, as a Christian, I believe that everybody was born with a conscience that really is the spark of the Holy Spirit. And if you nurture that and you kindle it and you blow on it, the fire will grow and you will hear it more and more. And every decision you make, you will have a loud response from that inner conscience or Holy Spirit telling you whether it's right or not, whether it's the morally right thing to do. It will be pretty easy to hear. But if you suppress it and don't listen to it and tell it to shut up, before long it'll be quiet. And that's where you get these psychopathic killers and you get these criminals that don't seem to care no matter what. So either you're a psychopath and you can lie no problem whatsoever, or it's going to wear on you. And I think that's why you see these press secretaries not lasting very long. So the latest is that, you know, as he's been getting more combative with the press and he's become more stressed and burned out, that it may be time for Jay Carney to go. Time for the man boy to leave. Well, we'll see. I don't know that it'll matter. They'll just put somebody else in the loss. 855-400-SAVAGE, get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. So here's the missing Malaysian plane. The AP report, Fox report, CNN report, they're all basically saying the same thing. Reuters, that there are some people now on the condition of anonymity saying that there's a possibility that someone caused the disappearance of this jet. Some are calling it an act of piracy, a hijacking, a sabotage. So it was either the pilots who did this because it takes skill to do what happened, or it was somebody who was trained to do this, got on the plane and did it. It takes some knowledge to turn off the transponder in the plane and to turn off there's several different devices that help us know where these planes are in the air. And when all those are turned off, it's somebody that has some idea of what's going on. So either somebody hijacked the plane and forced the pilots to do it, or the pilot did it because of suicide, or the terrorists killed the pilots and took over. Who knows? You know, when they talk about suicide, though, suicide, if it was the pilot wanted to commit suicide, wouldn't he just flown straight down into the ocean? And what they're showing is that the plane turned, went totally off course, they believe maybe even for several hours. That's not suicide. You know, my cousin, I'm a first-generation American from Great Britain. My cousin flew in the Royal Air Force for 30 years before he retired. And for a while, he flew the Queen of England around, like their version of Air Force One. It's a pretty cool thing. And he said, Greg, I got booted off that detail when I got divorced. I'm like, why? Well, when you get divorced, they're afraid that you're going to be depressed and that you might want to commit suicide. And so that's it. If you get divorced, you're off. And it's not because they're against divorce. It's because they're afraid you're going to be depressed and commit suicide. So, yeah, they think about that with pilots. But that would be straight down, wouldn't it? So the official said that there is some evidence that human intervention took place here. The plane's disappearance, the contact with the transponder stopped about a dozen minutes before a messaging system quit. And get this is where it gets really freaky-deaky. They're saying maybe there was a chance here that they landed the plane somewhere else.
Whoa.
Fly the plane to these islands and land them. And maybe there's something else about to happen. Maybe they refuel the plane. Maybe they then use the plane as a flying terrorist bomb. Come on, man. Now you're really reaching, aren't you? All these things are reaches. We don't know. If they did that, if they did land, would they have to kill all the people to keep it quiet? Is there any way you could land that kind of a plane, a Boeing 777? This is a big freaking plane. Is there any way you could really land that plane on one of these small islands without anybody knowing and nobody seeing it and nobody reporting it? I mean, you just can't put that thing down on a deserted island. You need an airstrip to put down a 777 if you're ever planning on lifting off again and if you're planning on surviving it. So it gets a little bit weird. Another communication system on the plane continued to ping for about 4 hours after contact was lost. And that's why they think it was still flying. Now, CNN has a whole other report on this thing where they're saying Reuters did an analysis on the radar data. And what they said was that the plane wasn't just blindly flying northwest from Malaysia. And maybe it landed in a remote Indian Ocean island chain. The Andaman Islands. What do you think? Now, Dennis Giles is the editor of the Andaman Chronicle newspaper. He says, there's nowhere to land here. You can't put this big of a plane in the archipelago down here. You just can't do it. People would notice, and I don't know that he'd even be able to land it. He says there's no such chance that any aircraft of this size can come towards Andaman and Nicobar Islands and land. Senior U.S. official said, there is probably a significant likelihood that that plane is on the bottom of the Indian Ocean. So we're back to people not knowing. But I'll tell you this, they keep expanding instead of narrowing the search for this plane. Normally, as these things go on, you narrow the search, right? As things are X'd off your search. Okay, we searched that area, check that off, we searched that area. Instead, we're going the opposite direction. I mean, there is such a huge area that they're searching now. It's like a quarter of the Earth almost. I mean, it's crazy. I don't even know if you can search something that big. Now, James Kallstrom is a former FBI assistant director, and he believes it's possible the plane could have landed. He said, you draw that arc, this huge search area, and now you're starting to look at countries like Pakistan. And you can get into Superman novels, and you see the plane landing somewhere, and people repurposing it for some dastardly deed down the road. That's what he told Jake Tapper on CNN. I think that would be more Iron Man than Superman. Superman doesn't usually have those kind of plots. But Greg, are you at Comic-Con? Can we get back to the story? Sorry, just it'd be a good Iron Man movie. It could be Iron Man 4. I think that could be good. I like those Iron Man movies. Says this is not beyond the realm of realism. That could happen, but we're collecting all this conflicting data. You veer one way, you veer the other way. We need some definitive data. I agree. Now, on the other hand, you got the Chinese who are saying, we detected a seafloor event in the waters around Malaysia and Vietnam about an hour and a half after the last known contact of this plane. And if you judge the time and the location, this seafloor event may have been caused by the plane crashing into the sea. And then, of course, this whole thing of tracking the pings and everything, it's still way out there. But it is pretty freaky. I mean, you remember a couple years ago when that French plane went missing. And it went missing for a long time, too. But we did find a door of the plane within, what was it, a week or two? And it was a little different situation there. We also had the plane sending out distress messages automatically before it went down. You got nothing like this from this plane. What do you think? I mean, really, all we can do right now is speculate. But if it is a terrorism event, why didn't the terrorists claim responsibility yet? Well, they didn't claim responsibility right away for 9/11. They didn't claim responsibility right away for a lot of the stuff that they did. And then there's conflicting reports of who's claiming it and who's doing this and that, and it takes a while to finally figure these things out. But it's been a week now. Or is it because the terrorism's not yet over? Or maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just one of those things. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. I love your thoughts and your calls on that. And I will give you the story about a way to make criminals serve hundreds of years in prison alive. What? Well, hit it. It's all coming up. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. We were talking about what's going on with the Malaysian airliner that's missing, and now we've got this idea that, hey, it turned off course purposefully, flew for hours, maybe even landed. Whoa. What do you think? Let me get Michael in, KBET, on this. Michael, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
Right here. My train of thought is that the Chinese themselves might be involved in this. I mean, who could fund an airliner that large just to disappear? To me, it was a smokescreen that they may have put 10 satellites out there searching for this plane just to divert the attention away from them. Again, this is just a conspiracy.
Sure, but what would the Chinese get out of it?
They're allies with Russia right now. You have Russian troops on Ukraine that are concealing their badges, very similar to how terrorists act.
So you're saying this would just be a way to distract the world from what's going on in Ukraine right now?
I'm saying there's a bigger story that needs to be disclosed.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I think, if anything, China was worried that this was something that was going to be used against them. This plane was going to Beijing. You got the Chinese Uyghurs, who are the Muslims who really hate the Chinese government. You had the 30 people stabbed to death at the Chinese train station not too long ago. Those were Chinese Uyghurs who were doing that. They drove about 3,000 miles to do it. Some of them were killed. Some of them got away. And could this be another extension of that? You know, of course, we're all just speculating right now. I mean, that's all that we've got, because nobody seems to know what's really going on here. And it's freaky. And it's kind of weird. So, yeah, we're trying to figure out what we think it might be. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And the other thing that people have been saying is about the cell phones. So now, wait a second. Why can't we just track each other on the cell phones? Because, you know, cell phones tell you a lot of stuff. Well, if there's no cell phone towers, it's not going to tell you anything. Yeah, but I saw that they were calling the cell phones of the people who were in the plane, and their cell phones were ringing. It didn't go straight to voicemail. And everybody knows that if your cell phone's turned off, it goes straight to voicemail. So it must mean that they're still on, and they're still being activated. Well, no, actually, the people who run these cell phones, especially when it's an international call, what that ringing is doing is that the system's trying to find where that phone is. And if it can't find it at all, it'll just stop ringing. When it goes to voicemail is because it found the phone, found that the phone is not being used, and then it will go straight to voicemail. So that's not exactly what people think it was. All right. We'll continue to talk about that, but I got to get you this very crazy story about the idea of having condemned criminals of heinous crimes suffer for hundreds of years in prison. Hundreds of years in prison. How could they do that? I'll tell you in just a second. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you're in too. 855-400-SAVAGE, and we're talking about the missing Malaysian plane and all the different information now that the plane veered off course purposefully, that it could have flown for hours afterwards. Some believe it may have actually landed on an island. Others believe it's sitting at the bottom of the ocean. Sabotage, terrorism, suicide, all this is out there. Satellite link to the jet active for 4 or 5 hours where they believe it was continuing to fly. Somebody with knowledge had to turn off the transponder and the pinger and everything else. So what really happened? We don't know. Speculation, but people are sure speculating, including us. Let me get Patrick in. Patrick from KSEV, you are on the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knappin for the doctor. Go right ahead.
The theory is that it's on the ground right now. And who knows what has happened to the passengers. I don't know, dead or alive, but I don't think that was the purpose. I think that they wanted this plane and want to, whoever can turn off and make a, turn off their transponder and make a plane disappear could also do the reverse. Dr. Savage made me think that the other day when he said, I'm going to reverse engineer this, when he said that what if a plane can reappear out of nowhere as though this one also disappeared and just was gone. Now, this plane, if it's refitted and they can put some kind of false transponder on there to make it look like another aircraft that's currently being used, what if they could use that against us and bring it in under the guise, kind of like a Trojan horse, bring it in and be totally refitted, repainted, whatever. And I don't know. That's just a thought that I had.
Yeah, and I understand. Thanks for getting in with it. The weird thing is you would think... And this is where I just thought, you know, hey, if a big plane like that is flying, we know where it is. But no, you turn off the transponder and you get to a certain level and you get to certain areas where the satellite coverage is not as good. And there's still a lot of air out there that we don't have 100% tracking done on it. It's a little freaky, isn't it? I don't know. We're going to have to keep an eye on it, and we certainly will. I also want to throw this story out at you, and I'll get back to the phone calls. Listen to this one. This is out of the Telegraph. And, or no, I'm sorry, the Daily Mail. Daily Mail. And they're looking at making heinous criminals suffer longer.
Wait, what?
I thought, why would we want people to suffer longer? Well, because they've done some really bad stuff. And there are people that say, hey, if they're older when they get convicted and they have a 100-year sentence, they're only going to serve 20. That doesn't seem right. Could we make them feel like they're in jail longer? Or could we extend their life to make them serve their entire prison term? Really? Well, wouldn't that cost us more money? And, I mean, as long as you're keeping them out of circulation for the rest of their life, isn't that enough? Well, here's the idea. Oxford University has a couple scientists looking at extending human life or giving you a pill that changes your perception of time so that you feel like you're in prison a lot longer than you are, or even one day, get this, uploading your mind to a computer and then digitally speeding up the perception of time so that it feels like you've been in prison for 1,000 years.
Whoa.
They're looking at technologies that it could even extend human life and then keep you alive long enough in jail to actually feel the punishment that you should feel. Prison firms could soon develop drugs that make time pass slowly, making an inmate sentence feel like an eternity. Couldn't they just, like, show them an opera all day long? Wouldn't that do it? Same guy, maybe ballet? So I guess it depends on if you're a guy or a girl and whether you like ballet or opera or not. Or is it, you know how to make somebody feel like it's 1,000 years? Just put them in a perpetual diversity training at work plan. You know, you ever gone to one of those? Oh, man, that feels like 1,000 years. I could do this easy. We don't need a special pill. I had a teacher. My biology teacher in high school, that class felt like a day every time I was in it. That right there, that'll make you feel like it's been a long time. Get that teacher back up. Ooh, man. Well, Rebecca Roche has been exploring technologies that she thinks will put them in an artificial hell. She said some of these crimes are so bad that we need to put them in here. Because you've got these people like that kill little four-year-old children, and she mentioned a couple of them on her blog, and she says these two will be fed and watered, housed in clean cells, allowed access to a toilet, washing facilities, allowed out of their cells for exercise and recreation, and she doesn't think they should be. Well, is it cruel and unusual punishment to make somebody stay alive longer or to feel more severe punishment artificially than just locking them up? What do you think? And then there's Dr. Aubrey de Grey, co-founder of the Anti-Aging Sense Research Foundation. Now, the doctor already thinks that the first person to live to 1,000 years has been born. We just don't know who it is yet, and we don't know how we're going to do it, but she thinks that it will happen in the near future. And then there's the psychoactive drugs that can distort your sense of time. Time distortion, already being used. In interrogations, they say, look, people are exposed to constant light or unusual light changes, so they can't tell what time of day it is. You know what? I've been experimenting on that. Just like that before. It was when I was in Vegas. That's what they do in Vegas. No clocks on the walls. They got the lighting all the same. They got all this intermittent reinforcement as you're gambling. You don't know how much time's gone by. It could have been an hour. It could have been a day. You wake up and you're like, holy crap, I've been at the blackjack table for 5 hours. This is all the stuff they're talking about doing. What do you think? Is that too much? I don't know. 855-400-SAVAGE. Get you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Back to the Malaysian airliner. We don't know where it is. What's happening to it? James, WABC, with your theory. James, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, James, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay. You don't need a transponder turned off or a plane turned around to be a terrorist putting it into the ocean, but I think it was diverted and went to Iran, and they're going to seed their nuclear sites with these people, so that Israel can't retaliate or will be disrupted in retaliating.
That's going way out there. Thanks, James. I appreciate it. I don't know that they need to hijack a Malaysian airliner to do that, but it does ties in the two Iranians who had the stolen passports. Let me get Don in, WMAL. Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Thank you. You know, this pilot had a simulator in his house. Those simulators are well over $100,000. Now, if you fly a 777 every day, practically every day, why would you need a simulator in your house and spend that much for one? And they said it was just high-tech, just like the one he flies. So he could have been practicing low flight the whole time, you know, and seeing how that airplane only acts good when it's up in the air, high. It does. The engines don't run right when it, I'm a pilot. The engines don't run right when you're real low at a long distance.
Well, here's the thing I don't understand. If you're a pilot, explain this to me, Don. I mean, I understand that you have a transponder that, you know, sends out the signal and makes it easier, but don't we also have, radar? We have radar from the towers, and we have satellite data when you're outside of those areas. So how can you just go missing for 4 hours with a 777?
Well, if he's low enough, he can get out of that, but what I don't understand is why the satellites couldn't see him somewhere.
Right. Yeah, that's because as I'm saying, if you're under the radar, I get it. But if you got the satellites, how does he avoid that too with a plane that big?
Well, if you can, yeah, that's what's confusing to me too. But if he had a simulator in there, he could get down on the ground, and I don't know how he would keep the plane away from the satellite.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand. I appreciate it. Let me get Jesse in too. Jesse out of WFTL, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead, Jesse.
Yes. Good afternoon. Hey, what the passengers on there, did they need any of the passengers that knew something? Like that one guy from, I think, Seattle, Washington, that worked for a big computer company? Then they said that they had a lot of Chinese people that worked for a technical company. So was it the passengers that they needed, or was it the plane that they wanted?
It's a good question. I mean, right now all these questions are good because we don't know. And here's the thing. When you got 239 people on a plane, and it's coming out of Kuala Lumpur, and it's going to Beijing, you're going to have some people in China that have some money on that plane because they're the ones who can afford to go, right? And those are the guys that probably have pretty good jobs. I don't know. I don't know. It's really, really screwy. Let me get Charles in from WBOB in Jacksonville, Florida, wanting to talk about this idea of the pill that they could give to these prisoners who have committed these heinous crimes to make them feel like they're being punished much longer than they have been. Charles, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappin for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that technology is for atheists and people who don't believe in God. I mean, I'm all for executing them and letting God judge them and placing them in hell for all eternity. They will pay for their crimes then. We're too busy trying to exact our pound of flesh in judgment where that's God's job.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you that the idea of trying to artificially keep these people alive for longer or to give them this pill to make them feel like they're punished longer is really kind of misusing that kind of technology. The bottom line is get them out of circulation so they can never harm anybody else again. That's the punishment that happens here on Earth. If it's heinous enough for the death penalty, that's the punishment here on Earth. The rest, as they say, let God sort them out. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board the program. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you're in. Hey, wait till you hear what's driving these new federal dietary guidelines. Oh, it's not Michelle Obama this time. We'll hit that for you, too. My name's Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Greg Knapp. I'm filling in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And the New York Times now has up a piece that says this Malaysian airliner, according to the Malaysian military, showed that the plane climbed to 45,000 feet, which is above the approved altitude limit for a Boeing 777, and then disappeared from civilian radar, made a sharp turn to the west. And the radar track, which the Malaysian government has not released, but is now being given, you know, anonymously to the New York Times, and has been provided to the United States and China, shows the plane went down unevenly and quickly to an altitude of 23,000 feet below the normal cruising level. And it approached the densely populated island of Penang. Then it went on a southwest-bound course, climbed to a higher altitude, flew northwest over the Strait of Malacca toward the Indian Ocean. And then you start looking at, why didn't the military, the Malaysian military, scramble for this? See, their satellite data was able, and their radar was able to continue to track the Malaysian airliner as blips on a radar screen after it turned off its transponder 40 minutes into the flight. But say, well, it could have been birds, it could have been this, it could have been that. But wait a second. You have a 777 that 40 minutes into the flight goes blank without any communication from the pilots whatsoever, and you don't scramble some jets up there to see what's going on? So the person who examined this data says it leaves little doubt that the airliner flew near or through the southern tip of Thailand, then back across the peninsula of Malaysia, near the city of Penang, then out over the sea again. But we'll keep you up to date on this. It just keeps getting stranger and stranger. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. And I also wanted to get you this one. There's a new study out on the NSA phone metadata. This is by Stanford University. And they went and looked at a bunch of metadata and tried to determine what can we gather from this. And when they looked at patterns of the metadata, they were able to conclude people's medical conditions, financial and legal connections, and even whether they owned a gun, and whether they might think these guys are participating in maybe some illegal activity. So here's the examples they gave. One volunteer called multiple neurology offices, a specialty pharmacy, a management service for rare medical conditions, and a pharmaceutical hotline for multiple sclerosis. Tells you an awful lot about the guy, doesn't it? Or at least a lot of assumptions. A second person in the voluntary sample called a home improvement retailer, locksmiths, plant hydroponics seller, and a head shop, which they said could be indicative of questionable legal activity. This is the kind of stuff you can get from the metadata that the president and others have told you doesn't give out any information about you. Oh, there's more information about you in the phone book than there is in this metadata that we collect. Right. Sure there is. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you into the program. 855-400-SAVAGE, and you are in. Let me get Bud in, KSFO. Bud, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knappin for the doctor. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I think my theory was looking at the latest MSN report. The motors were pinging on the 777 in a southwest direction of 300-400 miles out. If you look across the map, it runs right in about Mogadishu, Somalia. If you look on their airport mapping, they have five or six known large airports capable of landing the 777. I think if they took it there, that being one of the most efficient airplanes for traveling anywhere in the world on a single tank of fuel up to 9,000 miles, they could load that thing with nukes, fly it over to whatever country they want, and even if we shot it down, we still have a nuclear explosion, which could trigger World War even.
Gotcha. It's interesting. I'll tell you, the latest from the New York Times is saying that there was an Asian-based pilot of a 777 who said that an ascent above the servant limit of 43,100 feet, along with a depressurized cabin, would have rendered the passengers and crew unconscious and could have been a deliberate maneuver by a pilot or a hijacker. Now, we also have investigators now saying they have considered but dismissed the possibility that hijackers landed the plane somewhere for later use in a terrorist attack. They don't tell you how they dismiss that. And, of course, they sure don't want you to think that's what's going on because they don't want you terrorized. Hey, thanks for being with me. My name is Greg Knapp, in for Dr. Savage. This is the Savage Nation.